Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not a silent God, like those idols that have mouths but do not speak, but you are a speaking God who speaks into your world and into the hearts and lives of your people. And so we pray this evening that as we look at your word, you would speak to each and every one of us. If we ask it in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, please do sit down. And turn up that passage if you've got a Bible to hand on page 986. Matthew 13. A few years ago, I went to a new dentist for the first time, and he was quite a big bloke, and he was there doing the examination, all was going fine, and we got near the end of it, and he said to me, kind of looked me in the eye, you know, you're lying back, you're slightly helpless, he looked me in the eye and he said, yes, you're a very strong animal. I didn't quite know how to react to that, but he was a big bloke, and as I say, I was lying there on the chair, so I thought I'd take it as a compliment and get out there quick. Anyway, Jenny went in next, my wife, and she came out a few minutes later, and I said, "Oh, how did it go?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, it's fine." He said, "I've got very strong enamel." I'll explain it to you later. But it shows the importance of hearing well. You see, he was saying the same thing to both of us, but I took it very differently to how Jenny took it. Now, it's important to listen well when you're listening to your husband or your wife, or to your boss or to your friend or to your teacher. And yet, even when we're talking and listening to those people closest to us, or most important to us, we find ourselves drifting in and out, and sometimes we find that we haven't really heard what's been said. And you have that awkward moment where you think, Now, do I just bluff my way through this, or do I say, actually, I wasn't really listening to that? I normally go for the bluff, and it normally doesn't pay off. You listen, but you don't really take it in. You're not really understanding what's being said. Now, some people could even say the same thing about sermons. You know, you're listening to a sermon, and you find it hard to focus, and you drift in and out. I know that's not a problem we have here at St. Altman's, but some people may find it. How well you hear is how attentive you are. How much you're allowing what is being said to sink in, not only go in your ears, but sink into your brain, into your heart, into your life, and then act on what is said. This parable in Matthew 13 is all about the different ways that people hear Jesus, and therefore the different ways that they respond to him. Parable is, as many of you will know, a fictional story, a tool that Jesus uses, a teaching aid to make a point, an extended illustration. And over these coming weeks, we'll be looking through this group of parables in Matthew 13. But here what we're looking at tonight is how we respond to Jesus, how we hear Jesus, and how we therefore respond to him. And if it's important to listen to your spouse, your teacher, your boss, your friend, how much more important is it that we listen to Jesus? So he says in verse 3, a sower went out to sow. A very familiar image for his first hearers. Perhaps not so familiar for us, but we get the general idea, don't we? Of a sower, a farmer, going out to sow his seed. I had it brought home to me quite recently. We were at Cromford Canal, and Ben, my two-year-old, was feeding the ducks. He's got a little box of seed, and every time he was going extravagant, every time I thought he was going to fall into the canal, I had him by his hood. Every time he was going about, the point was that the seed was everywhere. And I think that's the sort of picture that we have to have in mind here when we listen to Jesus' story. Because this sower goes to sow, and he's just scattering this seed everywhere. It's going everywhere. But it's the same seed going everywhere. Same in the parable, then, that this same seed is going everywhere. So we're not meant to say, oh, what a careless, wasteful farmer who's not properly tilling his land and lining his seeds 5 centimetres apart and putting them in nice rows. that's not the point. The point is that he's just scattering the seed and it's going everywhere, but it's the same seed. The seed, of course, represents the word of the kingdom. That's what Jesus says in verse 19. The word of the kingdom. In other words, the message of the gospel, the good news that Jesus is bringing. That seed that is being scattered and where it lands, the soils, if you like, are representative of the hearts of the hearers. So again, halfway through verse 19, it says, what has been sown in his heart. So that's the picture. It's a fairly simple one, I think, that the seed is the message that Jesus is preaching. The soils are the hearts of the hearers. And so again, perhaps the obvious but very important point is the difference is not in what they hear, but in how they hear. Do you see that? It's not what they hear, because they're all getting the same seed. It's how they hear. And we've got the four groups. And I'm sure many of you are very familiar with this parable and familiar with the different groups. There's four different groups who respond differently, who hear differently. And the first group, we could say, are those who are pecked off the path. Pecked off the path in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Again, going back to Cromford Canal, I don't know if you've ever fed ducks, I'm sure you have, and you scatter the seed or the bread, and they come charging in, and normally there's one or two, normally geese, who come in and bully the others away, snatch it all up really quickly. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, some of the seed just gets snatched straight away by who? By Satan, by the devil. And this is a striking thought. A striking thought for us here, gathering this evening in church, that as we're listening to God speaking through his word and speaking through the preaching of his word, there's someone who wants to stop us listening. Satan is at work trying to snatch that seed before it can take root straight away. Well, some is pecked on the path. The second group are rootless in the rocks. Verse 20, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. Endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So you see, these people respond to the word. They hear about Jesus and they like what they hear. And so they respond and they go with it for a while until the point comes when it costs them something that they're unwilling to pay. Then it becomes clear that it was only ever on the surface. The seeds had never really sunk their roots into that person's heart. There are terrible stories coming out of the area of Iraq, Syria, where IS are on the rampage, of Christians being put on the spot and given the choice of conversion or death, or conversion or the death of their children. Heartbreaking, devastating stories. And yet you read those stories, and perhaps you're in touch with some of these things, various emails have been going around, or on their missionary websites. And you see that time and again, Christians are standing firm with that unbearable choice. They are refusing to cave in to the demands of the terrorists. Well, let's praise God that those believers do have roots that go deep. But when you read them, don't you think, well, what would I do? How would I react? And I think many of us fear that our roots are not as strong as they should be. When we pray, we shouldn't just be praying that we avoid persecution. And we shouldn't just be praying that for our brothers and sisters around the world. Not just that we avoid persecution, but that when persecution comes, in whatever form it comes, the roots are deep enough to keep us firm, to keep us standing strong. We don't want to be those who are rootless in the rocks. Well, the third group who hear the same word are throttled by the thorns. Verse 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Throttled by the thorns. You see, the problem here is that the people hear the word, but they also hear the world. They hear the word, but they hear the world. That is, they take in what Jesus is saying to them, and again, they respond well to it, they like it, they hear it. But then the world is speaking, and the world is giving them so much more. The world seems to be offering them instant gratification. The world is saying, look, you can have it all, and you can have it now. You can have everything that your heart desires. And you see, this is something that we are so susceptible to here in this country, where persecution tends to be very low level, so we can perhaps think that our roots are strong enough to cope. But the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world are so big and so strong all around us. Why go to church when you could be watching Countryfile? Why read your Bible when you could be doing Sudoku? Why pray when you could be on Facebook? Whatever it is, whatever cares of the world grab your heart, you see, there are things that are trying to drag you away, to stop you listening. And Romans says, or Paul says in Romans, that the problem that mankind has is that we worship, instead of worshipping the Creator, we worship created things. You see, that's what we do when we're pulled away from the Word into the world. And actually, we're too concerned about the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, of wealth. It's all about money and what we need and what we can get. And slowly we see that the spiritual life is being throttled out of us. And then we wonder why it's hard to get excited about the Bible. Hard to settle down to pray. Hard to speak to our friends about Jesus. Well, it's because that spiritual life is being throttled from us. You see, there's these three different groups then. The seed is scattered. Some of it is pecked off the path. Some of it is rootless in the root. Some of it is throttled by the thorns. And the fourth group, of course, is sleepless in Seattle. Right? Just checking you're listening. The fourth group is successful in the soil. Successful in the soil. And this is verse 23. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields 100-fold, 60, or 30. You see, these are people who understand Jesus' word and take it to heart. It takes root in their heart and their lives. They understand carefully. So the cares of this world seem trivial in comparison to what Jesus is offering. The result, this huge yield. What is the yield? Well, the yield is a fruitful life of service to God. These are those who, as James says in his letter, don't just hear the word, but do what it says. These are the men and women who build their lives on the rock of Jesus' words. So here you go, four different groups, four different types of soil. And through the parable, Jesus is simply saying this. When people hear my word, they will respond differently. When people hear my word, they will respond differently. So the simple question for each of us this evening is, which soil are you? How do you respond to Jesus' word? As he says, Jesus says in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, we're never one type of soil. Our hearts are a changeable feast, if you like. But one day we'll feel battered by persecution and our roots will feel weak. Another day, I will be pulled by the attractions of the world. Another day, perhaps, we'll just allow a sermon or reading the Bible just to pass straight through us and it has no effect at all. Which group are you? Which group do you want to be? Now, it might be that there are some amongst us who have never really let that seed settle in their hearts. And that might be you. If you never really believed in Jesus, Oscar Wilde in The Ideal Husband said, it's a very dangerous thing to listen. If one listens, one may be convinced. And you see, that's the danger of listening to Jesus. If you listen to Jesus, if you listen to his word, if you start reading the Bible, the danger is you might be convinced. And it's dangerous because it will cost. It's dangerous because Jesus demands everything from you. He demands your full allegiance. It will change your life. And yet it is so much more dangerous not to listen. Because he wants to come and change our life and demand our allegiance, but to offer us something that is so much better. But I guess many of us here tonight are those who call ourselves Christians, those who want to believe that we're good soil, or at least who want to be good soil. And we're aware that our hearts change. We're aware that sometimes we respond better than other times to Jesus' word. But we want to be good soil. Well, think about what your responsibility is then when you hear Jesus' word. Your responsibility, every time you hear from Jesus, when you read his word in the Bible, when you hear a sermon preached, when you're talking with friends in a Bible study group or whatever it is, every time you hear from Jesus, your heart will do one of two things. It will accept or reject. It will soften or harden. It will be good soil or it won't be. So the responsibility that we have as hearers is to strive to be those who hear well. Psalm 95 has got that great line that's picked up in Hebrews where it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." You see, that means forget about what happened yesterday. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So when you come to the Bible in the morning, or when you even now as you're listening to God's word, today, do not harden your heart. Pray to him and say, now, make me receptive. Make me good soil today, in this instant. Because I know my heart is so easily full of weeds and stones. That's our role. To seek and to strive to be receptive. But it's not all down to us, because there's also the farmer's role. If you're worried that your roots are fragile, that the thorns are already beginning to choke the spiritual life out of you, don't despair. Go back to the farmer. You know, the one who sows the seed. I'm not talking about the preacher, I'm talking about Jesus, the one who ultimately sows his seed. Go back to him. He's not just a careless farmer scattering his seed around. He's the sort of farmer who wants to go into your heart and to remove the stones, to clear the weeds, to allow his seed to be planted carefully there. He takes the unpromising ground of your heart and he makes it fertile and flourishing. So go back to the farmer. That's our response, I think, those of us who would want to be good soil. But as we look wider, this parable speaks to us if we're frustrated by the unbelief we see around us. If we're frustrated how many people would rather be watching Countryfile than coming to church. Well, Jesus has told us that it would be like this. Jesus has told us there will be a varied response to his word. So when some reject it, though it seems to make perfect sense to us, we understand. Jesus told us it would be like that. Even when some are so keen and seem to be really going for it and loving coming to church and then fall away and chuck it all in, it breaks our heart, but it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus has told us it'll happen. What's our job? Well, our job is to be like the careless farmer, to just get out there and scatter the seed. You don't know where the good soil is. You don't know which heart Jesus is preparing, but go out there, scatter the seed, as we were thinking last week, that encouragement to be bold in our evangelism. Well, it's all very well. I think it's a familiar story to many of us, and perhaps even a familiar explanation. Different responses to hearing God's word, so check the response of your own heart, and then look the responses you see around you. All very well, Except there's this very strange, troubling passage in the middle of our reading. When the disciples go to Jesus in verse 10 and they say, "Why do you speak in parables?" And you see, we'd expect Jesus to say something like, "Well, I speak in parables because they're nice little quaint stories. They make complicated things easy to understand. They entertain the crowds and they'll draw people to me." But he didn't say that. He says in verse 13, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And it's as if Jesus is saying he's being purposely obtuse, confusing, misleading. And so we may legitimately ask the question, well, what's the point? What's the point in us working so hard at listening, trying to be good soil, if actually he doesn't want to be understood at all? But of course, Jesus does want to be understood. He does want to be understood. That's why he goes on to explain exactly what the parable means. So what's going on with this strange passage in the middle? Well, there's two groups. You see, there are the crowds who we read about in verse 2. The crowds gathered around him. But then when you get down to verse 10, it's the disciples who came to him. These two groups who are going on. In other words, there are some who hear what Jesus has to say, but they can take it or leave it. And they're happy to kind of turn up, listen with the crowd and drift away. There are others who are interested, who are drawn into him and want to go to Jesus and say, "What does this mean? What's going on?" Some are interested, others are along for the ride. Verse 11, Jesus says, "To you," that is to the disciples, "it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. To them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given. He will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Again, I think Jesus is saying, look, to those who've had this revealed in their hearts, and we know that the gospel is only truly revealed by the Father to us. When we've had that revealed in our hearts, we can be like those who are drawn into Jesus, who want to understand, who want to learn from him. Others, sadly, are those who just drift away. And that is why the parables have the twin effect. Now, they draw some in and they explain things to us. They are to make things understandable. And yet for some, for those who will walk away, they'll be left in the dark. As I say, Ben's two, so I don't think he's going to be listening to this sermon online just yet. Because this is another story about him. Just this afternoon, we'd been out to the park and we came home and I got some toys out, this kind of windmill thing they've got, and I said to Lauren and Ben, "Listen to me, I've got to go upstairs and do my sermon. You've got to play nicely. I don't want any fighting. You play nicely. Do you understand?" Lauren says, "Yes, Daddy." Ben says, "I don't want to understand." I don't want to understand. But isn't that what we're like? That's what sinful mankind, humanity is like. Jesus says to us, "I'm going to tell you the secrets of the kingdom. I'm going to speak to you the wonderful mysteries of God. I want to tell you what it means to be a believer. I want to tell you why I came, not to be served, but to serve. I'm going to tell you these wonderful things, and yet you don't want to understand. Your hearts have become hardened. You're just like the people in Isaiah's day." That's why he quotes Isaiah. You know, Isaiah was given that ministry where he was told, "Go and preach to the people and they will not listen to you." That's what Isaiah was told and that's what happened in his day. The people's heart, verse 15, had grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear. And that's what we're like in our natural state. I don't want to understand. And yet Jesus comes and he offers us the secrets of the kingdom. He starts scattering the seed, and wonderfully, when he works that miracle in our lives and the roots begin to go down, we start to see what he means. We start to understand the secrets of the kingdom. And when we do that, oh, it's such a privilege. It's such an incredible thing. What does he say? Verse 16. Jesus says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. He's saying, Jesus is saying, do you realize how incredibly privileged you are to have me preach to you? Jesus saying it, not me. Although some of you have been privileged to hear me twice today. Countryfile is perhaps looking like a good option. Jesus saying, do you realize how incredibly privileged you are to hear me speak to you, because I have come, and Isaiah and Malachi and Joel and Nathan and Samuel, they longed for this day. They looked forward to when the Messiah would come and things wouldn't be so much of a mystery but would be revealed. And now here it is, and you are blessed because you see and you are blessed because you hear. What a great privilege it is. The seed is thrown and it lands in different places. And if you're one who longs that your heart would be good soil, then pray to the farmer, pray to the sower, that the seed wouldn't be pecked off the path, rootless in the rocks, throttled by the thorns, but successful in the soil. Let's pray that we are those who have ears and are prepared to use them.